Thank you.
We are now live.
Good evening, everyone. I'm calling this LTD Board of Directors meeting to order. I'm going to note that all board members are present. Thank you very much for being here. Also, I'd like to thank the staff and the public for joining us in this remote format. It is more critical than ever that we continue to meet this way as COVID-19 cases are actually reportedly increasing in our state. These remote meetings allow the LTD board to conduct business while practically reducing the possible spread of infections whenever possible. I also want to note that we're actually not approving this coming year's fiscal budget at this meeting. That will actually take place next week during our special weekly meeting. This is necessary because LTD is required to give the public 30 days of public comment, as well as being legally required to have the budget approved by June 30th. So we are on a little bit of a deadline. Otherwise, we would normally keep our special meetings focused on COVID-19 updates and related business, but we will be discussing more about the future of our public meetings at agenda item later this evening. So thanks again. Those are my comments. AJ, do you have any comments as general manager?
I do not.
Great. Thank you very much, AJ. And we'll move on to announcements and additions to the agenda. Just asking everyone, are there any? And go ahead and use your raise hand thing on your participants icon. That way I can, I see Josh. Go ahead, Josh.
Thanks. I have a number of topics I wanted to bring up for consideration in future meetings. Do you want me to do that now, or do you want to wait till the end of the meeting to just chat about future topics?
Well, we could do it that way. Are they ones that you can bring that absolutely need to be handled today, or is that something that you could send to me and then we can look into how we can fit them into a future meeting agenda?
Oh, I mean, either way, I just wanted a chance to say them in front of everybody just so people get to hear the topics.
Okay.
But well, I can do that now or later.
How about this? The ones that you would like for sure to consider to add today, go ahead and say those now, and then the others you can mention at the end of the meeting.
I'll kick them all to the end of the meeting then. Thanks.
Okay, great. Good. Thank you for clarifying that then. Excellent. Okay, great. We'll move on to the board calendar. AJ, did you have some calendar updates for any of us?
Just routine, nothing of special interest. When we talk about public meetings, there'll be an opportunity for us to talk about this further.
Oh, excellent. Thanks again, AJ. And then let's move on to audience participation. Camille, do we have any members of the public who would like to make a comment to the board?
I am not showing anyone at this time. So if there is anyone who would like to provide public testimony at this time, please use the raise your hand feature so that we are aware.
Thank you very much. So let's give it a signature as people. Either on their phones or on their computers trying to indicate that. Oh yeah, to raise your hand, press *9 if you're on the phone. And if you are on a computer, just press participants and then press the raise hand button. Oh, I see one. Great. Well, Camille works on getting that. I'll go ahead.
I've got it. The person with the last four digits of their phone number, 8479. Go ahead. Great. And provide your testimony.
Oh, wait. I'm gonna read the rules really quick just so you know, everyone knows.
Okay.
So public testimony is limited to 3 minutes per community member. Actually, there is no timer displayed, but
we will have a timer, yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
There will be a timer, but there was no warning beep. It will just beep at the end of 3 minutes. If you are, before you speak, make sure to state your name, your city of residence, and who you are representing for the audio record. And then after you provide your testimony, your hand will be lowered, and there's only one opportunity to speak provided for each person. So with that, we'll go ahead and have our first public speaker. Please go ahead.
You bet. My first name is Alex. My last name is Shay. I'm representing the Northwest Alliance for Clean Transportation. I live in Portland, Oregon. I would hope that as a part of the decarbonization process and the fleet procurement decision, that Lane Transit District would seriously consider a renewable natural gas alternative. when we ran through our fleet conversion tool with folks from the Lane Transit District in October and November of 2019, we found that the payback period for buses powered by renewable natural gas was less than 5 years, and the GHG reductions versus the diesel baseline scenario were over 80%. When we visited, and Kelly Hale was involved in these conversations, when we visited with transit agencies that have been running on renewable natural gas for many years in Southern California, including Riverside Transit Agency in San Diego Metro, we had an opportunity to meet with maintenance staff and finance personnel. They were all extremely happy with running their fleets on renewable natural gas due to financial reasons, cost reasons, and because those buses reduce criterion air pollutants as well as greenhouse gas emissions. So with that in mind, I would hope that as a part of this decision-making process, you would seriously consider a renewable natural gas alternative, particularly from a municipal wastewater treatment plant. And the Northwest Alliance for Clean Transportation continues to be ready to support that work. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much for taking the time to make testimony to our board. Camille, do we have, it looks like we have one another person who would like to make a public comment.
We do have one other person, Bill Bradley.
Excellent. Go ahead. And
Go ahead, Mr. Bradley.
Yeah, please state your name, your city of residence, and who you're representing for the audio record. And please go ahead.
All right, this is Bill Bradley, Amalgamated Transit Union 757, Springfield, Oregon. Tonight, I just want to address the board and, you know, talk about what's been going on in the last month at Lane Transit just from a union perspective. We've had about 44, 45 members laid off due to the COVID-19 pandemic. These workers were, you know, committed to their job, great public servants, and they can't wait to get back to work. As we know, we're running a reduced amount of service and we have a reduced amount of ridership. And I think, you know, as a board, we need to find ways to engage these members and bring them back and still service the community in perhaps new ways, new interesting ways. And I think the board should direct LTD management to engage with the union on ways to get creative and bring these workers back and be productive in transporting the residents of Lane County as we support the economic reopening of our service area. You know, these workers, you know, gave their all during the beginning of the pandemic from March, April, and May, and through June, with a really positive attitude, did their best work to make sure that transit was safe. You know, we look at articles that are out there being written today. There was a good one in the Atlantic the other day, that transit is not a factor in the spread of coronavirus. You know, we need to do a really good job advertising to the community as Lane Transit that, you know, we are part of the solution. You know, our buses are clean and safe. We have their people wiping buses down quite frequently out there in the system, and that we can provide, you know, a chance at participating in this economy for workers out there in the service industries and as they get back to work. You know, we might see chances where restaurants in the downtown areas get to expand into the street. That would take up street parking. A solution to getting people downtown would be using the bus to get down there. And we need to instill public confidence in our vehicles that these things are safe, which they are, because they are doing a good job keeping them safe. So I would thank LTD for continuing their efforts to keep the transit safe, but I would encourage them to find ways to educate the public that our service is indeed safe and part of the solution, not only in opening our economy, but as we continue to look forward in the future, a more sustainable future, let's take this as a pivot point and launch from there. So with that, I'll leave my comments and thank you for your time. And you guys have a good evening.
Thank you so much, Mr. Bradley, for taking the time to tell us all of that. Camille, just double checking. I think I see another one.
We do have one additional person for public testimony, Rachel Anderson. Go right ahead.
Thank you so much. I'm grateful for the chance to address the board today, and I want to commend you for your hard and diligent work during this very challenging time in Eugene's history. I know LTD is facing so many challenges, and I thank you for your service. And I also want to thank the bus drivers and the employees who are continuing to operate the buses in such a safe manner and make the buses available for those who really need them. I've been able to address the board before. I'm part of the Southeast Neighbors Transportation Committee, and we continue to want to be partners with the board as the board faces, makes plans for the future and faces challenging budget constrictions and changes. We want to remind the board that we are here, we want to be your partners, and we would like to specifically continue to develop a plan for the Southeast neighborhood. We'll save LTD money and also keep our neighbors linked in to the downtown and extended Eugene Springfield corridors. So we want to remind you that we're here, and we want to be your partners, and we want to build up, we want to maintain coverage for our area, and we're willing to work with you and make compromises to make sure that our neighbors do not are not left without transportation. Thank you so much.
Great. Thank you very much, Ms. Anderson, for making your public comment to us. Looks like we have another one. I'll let you take care of that, Camille.
Yes, Michael Graham. Go right ahead.
Hey there. Thanks all for all of your time, as well as for continuing to support the public process. I really appreciate it. My name is Michael Graham from the Columbia Willamette Clean Cities Coalition. I'm the Director of Policy and Communications here. Just a quick bit of background. We're a 501c3 nonprofit and a U.S. Department of Energy program specializing in alternative fuels. And should you undertake additional fuel analyses, alternative fuels are a very good candidate. And if you need any assistance regarding understanding different fuel types, as well as garnering unbiased and third-party technical information about such fuels and other fleets across the country using fuels, I'm happy to be that resource, as well as coordinate any training, education, certification required to ensure a successful deployment of future alternative fuel projects. Anyway, just wanted to raise awareness of the resource. Thanks for your time, and have a great evening.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Graham. And before you go, could you mention what city of residence you are from?
I'm up in the Portland area.
Oh, very good.
We cover the state of Oregon, and LTD is a longstanding member of ours.
Ah, thank you again for taking the time to make a comment to our board.
Sure.
Great. And
okay, I'm not seeing anybody else that has raised their hand at this time, but I would like to point out that Eloise Parrish Mueller, and I apologize if I misstated the name, provided written public testimony for tonight's board meeting that was previously sent to the board.
Yes, thank you for making that mention. Great, so we have all that, and it looks like we are done with the public comment hearing portion of our meeting. So we'll go ahead and move on to board member reports. So in addition to what is printed, was there anything that any board member would like to report? Okay. Oh, Kate, go ahead, please.
Hi. So it was stated in the board packet that OMPOC did not meet this last month, but we actually did meet. It's hard for me to remember which month we're in with how many meetings we have, but I'm pretty sure it was since our last regular board meeting. And I think the most notable thing out of that for us, the LTD board, is that there was a summit that was being planned for the MPOs in Oregon in coordination with the League of Oregon Cities conference that was to be held in Eugene, which has now been postponed to 2021. That's it.
Great. Thanks, Kate. Any other board member like to make an additional comment about in addition to what's in the agenda? And I
Emily,
can only see.
Emily, are you going to talk about SPC?
Yes.
Okay.
Go ahead, Emily.
Okay. All right, I'm jumping in. Going for it. So the ad hoc committee for any SPC topics or
strategic planning committee topics met twice. We did both of those virtually.
Did Emily, are you still there, or is it on my end?
And the second.
She has disappeared for me as well, Carl.
Oh, okay, good. I thought, I was worried it was just on my end. Emily, we lost you for a significant portion. Could you start over?
Beginning. Sorry?
We lost you for a significant portion. Could you start over?
Sure. Can you guys hear me okay now?
Yeah. Okay. But it's kind of coming in and out. I do have a recommendation. So, could you stop your video
the ad hoc committee? Okay, I'm going to try one more time, and if not, I will send this to Camille.
Okay.
Maybe she can just put it on the screen.
Okay.
So the ad hoc committee for the strategic planning committee meeting met, and we are making a recommendation that the strategic planning committee go ahead and meet at their next scheduled meeting time, which would be July 7th. And basically, we're suggesting and approve what our recommendation is for meeting, having the SBC owning the strategic plan with the support of LTD staff duration and adoption, with the strategic planning committee determining the et cetera, with wordsmithing by LTD staff after the board approves, so that we have as much time and cost efficiency as possible, and that they'll be supported by the staff for the long-range transit plan, mobility management plan, budget, so there's a pretty focused discussion about what's happening around the strategic planning process. And then the collaboration would be sort of more of an ongoing back and forth between the board and the strategic planning committee, so that they stay cohesive and collaborative between the two bodies. So that's what our general recommendation was after the two Zoom meetings that we had about the topic. Just have questions on that, or?
Yeah, I think I heard, I was still having some trouble, at least on my end, for the audio, but it sounds like the SBC is recommending they would like to go ahead and start meeting and work on the strategic plans and continue to be work in partnership with the board. Excellent. Okay, great. Any questions or other comments? All right. Thank you very much for those updates, everybody. Let's go ahead and move ahead to the next item, which is the consent calendar.
Hey, Carl, I'm sorry to interrupt.
Yes, go ahead.
Because this was an ad hoc committee, I don't know if we need to disband the group and or approve the.
Hey, Emily, I'm wondering if it would help with your bandwidth if you turn your video off, and then we could, I don't know if you can hear, if you heard what I said.
Mm-hmm. Just curious if we need to disband the ad hoc for this conversation and whether or not the board needs to formally adopt any of that recommendation.
That's a good question. I mean, let me throw it out to the board. I think when we get to our item about future public meetings, maybe we can throw it in there, and I don't even think it, my personal feelings, I don't think it actually needs to be a formal vote, but we can certainly, I can imagine us giving the go ahead for that. So how about we push that to that later item, and then we'll definitely figure that one out.
Thanks, sounds good.
Great. Great, thanks. So now for back to the consent calendar. So any concerns, questions, or I'll, yes, go ahead, Josh.
Yeah, thank you, Carl. I just had one thing really quickly. The contract review committee met to discuss the contracts that everyone sees in here. And I just want to point out that I just want to raise this for board members to hear, and you can decide whether this is something we should flag. One of the decisions we made, one of the contracts that was all fine and in order, was this $1.2 million for vehicles that are not 40 and 60 foot buses. We have a bunch of old other vehicles for other purposes. The reason I'm bringing it up is that we're we have this year snuck into the consent calendar, which would be normal, except we're doing it at the same time that we're approving a goal related to greenhouse gas emissions reduction. And so I, you know, nothing ever happens exactly in the right order, but it's a little bit uncomfortable that we're, you know, essentially forging ahead with this, you know, $1 million+ of fleet procurement at the same time we're setting a goal, and they don't totally fit. So I wanted to call that out for board members as a whole to see if that, if people wanted us to wait and pull this from the consent calendar, that could have implications and staff may want to talk about it, or if we're okay just forging ahead. But I didn't want to just let it sneak by and then have us realize later that we did this.
Okay. Yeah. And I do want to note that, yeah, there was no intent to sneak anything. And this is the normal way to get the information through the board. That's from true. The contract committee. I see Kate, and then I'll make a comment a little bit later. Go ahead, Kate.
Yeah, I also had that same exact thought when I was reading through the board packet and just knowing that we're going to talk about our policy recommendation. I do remember, though, when we were in our ad hoc committee that we did specifically talk about cutaways and smaller vehicles in general, and that what we had discussed at that time is the technology isn't quite there yet for cutaways very specifically. So there wasn't, I mean, other than looking at I don't even know if the biodiesel would work because I don't know if they take diesel, but other than looking at alternative fuel options in the existing vehicles, there wasn't for cutaways specifically another option as of yet. So, and I think that the recommendation from staff at that time was that the vehicles do need to be replaced. And so there wasn't a super large option for waiting on those, but yeah, thanks for bringing that up, Josh. I definitely have that same thought.
Yeah. And the comment I wanted to make was that this was something that was reviewed by contract committee and was voted on, I believe, unanimously to forward on to the board for approval. But I do recognize what people are saying, that it might be good and or useful for the board to really understand that particular contract given the context of our climate action. So one way to do that is if there is agreement on that for someone to, when they make the motion to approve the consent calendar, to pull that particular one out, and we can move forward that way. But before we do that, any other comments or questions before any motions are made? Okay. Oh, Don, go ahead, Don.
Well, I'm concerned that the Special Transportation Committee is not meeting, it's not being scheduled, and that fund has been changed. And I don't even know who the staff are there anymore. So I'd like to see that meeting reconvened and at least meet people. I've heard a comment about people in wheelchairs not being able to get repairs because of the paperwork involved in fixing them. So people are left housebound without even using their wheelchairs. And I don't know if there's something our organization can do about that. I think it would be appropriate to reconvene that committee and talk about it and at least find out who the staff there are.
Okay, thanks, Don. And maybe that could be included in some way. I guess if there's no other comments, I'll entertain a motion. Is there any?
Well, someone finds the language to make the motion, let me just make the final comment about this, that I think just so we actually learn from this. This experience here, we don't always have all the options we want in taking climate action. Like, we don't have them at the right time. So that means when we do have some sort of opportunity, or we have the chance to create an opportunity, we really need to seize it, because we're going to buy these vehicles and it's sort of the best we can do right now, but it doesn't do anything to advance our climate goals. So let's just sort of keep that in mind as things come forward in the future, that we may need to act pretty ambitiously at other times when we actually have the flexibility.
And if we do indeed pull it from the consent calendar, we can discuss in more detail at that point. So is there anyone who would like to make a motion? I only have four faces in front of me right now. So if you are not on video, please raise your hand using the raise your hand feature.
Hey, Carl, I was also curious on the consent calendar if we were going to touch base on the updated salary employees retirement funding policy, because that might be the other one that we might want to chat a little bit about. I heard that we discussed that in very much detail at the contract review committee, if at all.
Did you want to make a statement to everyone so they could hear it, or did you have a question that you want to ask staff to kind of flesh out some more?
Well, I guess I just wanted to understand what the updates were, sort of where we were coming from and what's changed that required the additional consent item.
AJ, is that something you could answer?
Well, and Carl, let me even be more specific on that one. It's in the agenda, so I was actually confused that it was in the consent calendar. Am I misreading something?
Agreed.
Can you hear me? I lost signal. Sorry. Am I back?
Yeah, I hear you, AJ.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. I had to log off. I was texting Camille, letting her know that I was, Christina had actually asked me to pull those items. But actually, if you guys want to spend more time on them, we can bring them back as agenda items, because we were just going to pull them, and we were only going to pull them for technicality, not for actual anything else. We can speak about them today, so we can definitely cover them. But we were just going to put them on the consent unless the board had a different. We were pulling them for technicality, just the language. We needed to clean it up, and we saw that it was a little messy, and I had asked. She had said, just pull them. But if you want to ask any questions, we're prepared to answer that. And we're prepared also, if you want to have a longer discussion about it, we're also prepared to bring them back as a bigger item.
I don't know how everyone else feels, but I would prefer not to approve anything via the consent calendar that we haven't had a chance to look at. That just makes me kind of uncomfortable.
I agree. And I mean, for these particular items, the ones, I don't know if I need to mention what they are, numbers really 7, 8, and 9 on the consent calendar.
And the board can just pull them off and not approve them. And if you don't approve them, nothing happens with them. All they do is come back at a later time. So that's easy.
So we pull
put them onto the agenda. Oh, sorry.
Sorry, I'll call people one at a time. You can raise your hand. And so who? I think I heard Steven, and then I think Kate.
Thanks, sorry about that. So let's pull 5, 7, 8, and 9.
So, Stephen, are you making a motion to adopt the consent calendar excluding items number 5, 7, 8, and 9?
It's a lovely motion.
Hey, Carl, okay. there needs to be a motion to separate. Pull those items from the consent calendar,
and then separate.
A motion to approve the consent calendar as amended.
Thank you for correcting me on that. So, okay, so Stephen, I understood you to propose to pull from the consent calendar items 5, 7, 8, and 9.
Correct, and thank you.
No problem.
I'll second that.
And I've heard Emily second that. But before we go, Kate, go ahead.
I just wanted to clarify that when we do that, then they now appear on our agenda, correct? So then we talk about them each individually? Or incorrect?
I think you're asking whether we will discuss them. And I think AJ is offering to discuss all of them this today.
It's today. So, it's whichever your preference is. You can add them to the agenda for today, or you can request that they become agenda items at the next meeting, whichever your preference.
Yeah. And I'm kind of feeling that people want to discuss them today, but if we change our minds, we certainly can. We may decide one or two of them. We may be today and the rest some other time. And so, but I think for now, I'm going with the assumption that we want to hit them all. So, were there any other clarifying questions or things before we vote on the motion? Okay, seeing none. So the motion is moved by Stephen and seconded by Emily. that would remove items 5, 7, 8, 9 from a consent calendar or pull them. So all those in favor, we'll do a roll call vote. Sorry, let me go back to page one. We'll start with Kate Reed.
Aye.
Josh Gove.
Aye.
Caitlin Vargas.
Aye.
Stephen Yet.
Aye.
Emily Secord.
Aye.
Emily, can you hear me?
Yes, aye.
Oh, good. And I, Carl Ye, also vote aye. So motion passes. And for the rest of the consent calendar now, according to Camille, we need someone to make a motion based on how-
I don't think you got Carl. Dawn.
Yeah, you didn't get Dawn.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dawn. What were they looking at?
Well, I'm here.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Dawn. I totally skipped over your name. Dawn, how do you vote? I don't know. Aye. Oh, Don votes aye. My apologies, Don. I went too fast there. So now it is. The motion passes. It was unanimous, including Don Norden. So thank you. So now going back, now if the I will entertain a motion for someone to move the adoption for the consent calendar as amended.
I move adoption of LTD resolution number 2020-06-17-030. It is hereby resolved that the consent calendar for June 17th, 2020 is approved as amended.
Excellent. Although, is there a second?
I'll second.
Is that Emily?
Yes.
Oh, thank you, Emily. So moved by Caitlin to move adoption for the consent calendar as amended, seconded by Emily. We'll go back to roll call vote. Hey, Don, I'm going to start with you first, so I can't forget you. Don, how do you vote?
I'll vote yes.
Vote yes. Okay, next, Kate Reed.
Aye.
Josh Gove.
Aye.
Caitlin Vargas.
Aye.
Stephen Yet.
Yay.
Emily Secord.
Aye.
And I, Carl Ye, also vote aye, so the motion passes unanimously. Great. Well, thank you very much for that. Let me look at the agenda and see how we best do this, because I think if the board will indulge me, I would like to move on to the next item. We'll talk about the contract for the vehicles at the climate action policy portion, if that's okay. And then we'll hit the rest right before the public meeting schedule. Then we'll talk about the public meeting schedule and slide out. Does that sound good? We'll figure it out as we go. Okay, I think a general agreement. So let's go ahead and move on to the next one, which is the elementary lane dedication with Randy. Randy, are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Yeah, please go ahead.
This agenda item refers back to the Santa Clara Transit Station project. And if the board does have an interest in hearing a more in-depth update regarding the status of the Santa Clara project, as well as Green Lane, I'd be happy to bring that back to the July meeting. Sounds like we're pretty busy today.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, you go ahead.
Oh, it's maybe a little bit would be good. And then I'm sure board members will encourage you to tell us more if they want it.
Sure. Okay, sounds good. So regarding the elementary lane street dedication, this was a requirement that was laid out to LTD by the City of Eugene a few years ago in the early stages of planning for the planned unit development. If you guys recall, LTD was initially planning on developing the entire 8-acre site. The PUD requirement said that LTD needed to build a through road from Green Lane north to Huntsacker Lane. But since LTD is only developing the southern 3 acres of this site, we do not need to construct the road entirely from Green Lane to Huntsacker Lane. We just need to construct the road from Green Lane to the northern end of what we will be developing as part of Santa Clara. It will be a condition for whoever purchases and develops the northern 5 acres to finish this through road to Huntsacker. This public right-of-way needs to be dedicated to the City of Eugene and recorded prior to Delta constructing the road. And since we are not developing elementary lane completely up to Huntsacker, the city is also requiring a 1-foot reserve strip on the north end of elementary lane that it be deeded to the city to ensure that elementary lane does get completed in the future. And in the board packet, there's a site plan that shows exactly what I'm talking about. The 1 foot reserve strip is highlighted in yellow and the dedication of the right of way is in a red box. So tonight I'm asking that the board approves the dedication of public right of way for Elementary Lane, approves the deed transfer of a 1 foot access restriction strip to the city of Eugene, and to authorize the general manager to execute both of these documents. You guys have any questions?
Thank you very much, Randy. And yes, are there any questions from the board? And I see Stephen as one. Stephen, go ahead, please.
Thank you, Carl. And thanks, Randy, for that update. And nothing that we need to cover now, but I would appreciate an update on how that project is going timeline-wise, budget-wise, and just your general commentary at some date in the future to share with the board. Thank you.
Okay, sounds good.
That's great. That sounds great. Any questions or, okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so Randy, thank you so much for that. It looks like the thing that's actually in our packet doesn't have a yellow highlighted or red box item on it. And so I'm having a hard time seeing.
Mine does.
Really?
Yeah.
Mine does too. But
quick explanation.
What's wrong with mine?
It's okay. On the far east side, do you see the road that says Elementary Lane? Or far right side, I guess, of the state plan?
Nope.
Can Camille put it up in the screen share?
Oh, she can. I texted it to you too, Kate, just now.
Okay.
I sure can. Oh. Give me just a second.
Sorry, guys.
But Camille putting it up is a good idea. Might as well show everyone. We may as well use this technology to its fullest.
The one I downloaded from the website doesn't have the red and the yellow on it, just FYI.
I don't have the red and yellow either.
Oh, weird.
Thank you, Camille.
So in this diagram, the red box, that includes Elementary Lane that we're constructing, as well as the right-of-way on both the west and east side of Elementary Lane. That's just some landscaping and a sidewalk. And then the one-foot reserve strip is that highlighted yellow portion right on the northern end of what we are constructing for Elementary Lane.
Well, and I just want to ask, is that what we're seeing out here on this blueprint, is that the same thing that we did the virtual tour of at our board retreat?
Yep, that's exactly it.
Great, cool, thank you so much.
Great. Any other questions or comments? And if not, I will entertain a motion.
I move adoption of LTD resolution number 2020-06-17-037. Do you need me to read the whole thing? It just went over it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's true. We did go over it.
Yeah.
As indicated. All right.
A second.
Is there a second?
Yes.
Is that Stephen?
Yes.
Making sure. Thank you. So that was moved by Josh, seconded by Stephen. We'll do a roll call vote. Kate Reed. Josh Scove.
Aye.
Don Norden.
Aye.
Caitlin Vargas.
Aye.
Stephen Yet.
Aye.
Emily Secord.
Aye.
And Carl Ye, I vote aye. So motion passes. Thank you very much, Randy. And we look forward to that update from you at a future board meeting.
Thank you.
Great. Got that done. Then let's move on to the next item. Sorry, let me flick through here. Climate Action Policy Statement and Fleet Procurement Goals. And we have Kelly Hale. I saw her name. And Kelly, when you're ready, please go ahead.
All right. Thank you so much. Can you all hear me?
We can.
Great.
Or at least I can. Thank you
so much for the opportunity to be here. My name is Kelly Hale, and I'm LTD's Sustainability Program Manager. I wanted to come before you today to share with you the draft goals that the ad hoc that the board's ad hoc sustainability committee has developed. Before I get into reading the content of those goals, I wanted to just provide a little bit of background for the people who might be listening in and for the board to just remember where we've come. Back in September of 2019, I came to before the board to present the results of the greenhouse gas inventory. And you might remember that the two main takeaways that we had from that analysis that was done, a carbon footprint analysis or a greenhouse gas inventory, they're the same thing, were that the two biggest opportunities LTD had to address climate change were a focus on ridership and to make transit as useful as possible to increase ridership, which obviously at this time is really challenging given the COVID situation that we're in. The second primary opportunity for LTD was to focus on reducing the carbon intensity of our fleet vehicles. So after that time, starting in October of 2019, the board designated an ad hoc sustainability committee that has three members, Kate Reed, Joshua Scove, and Don Norden. And they met six times monthly, starting in October and going until March. And in the March 9th meeting, the ad hoc committee had developed these goals that I'll read here in a moment. I wanted to just let everyone know as it pertains to both these goals as well as some of the discussion that was happening earlier related to the vehicle purchasing, that staff will be beginning a fleet procurement planning process to study vehicles and fuels and technologies. And so that will come after this board level policy is developed. So without further ado, I'm going to just go ahead and read to you what the goals are that are in your agenda item summary here that the ad hoc committee has developed. It says, LTD recognizes the urgency in addressing climate change and is committed to reducing community greenhouse gas emissions by taking steps to maximize public transit ridership and support low carbon active transportation modes. LTD is also committed to reducing the greenhouse gas emissions and consumption of fossil fuels from its fleet of vehicles as quickly as possible in a financially and socially responsible manner. LTD is committed to eliminating the use of fossil fuels in its bus fleet by 2035 and will develop plans to achieve that goal. Goal number one is short term, 25 electric buses in 3 years. Goal two, longer term, 100% fleet turnover and phase out of fossil fuels by 2035. And 75% greenhouse gas emissions reductions by 2030. And goal three, other considerations, there are three bullet points here, deliberate exploration of emerging technology and fuels, joint community greenhouse gas emissions reduction goals with partner jurisdictions, and make it an iterative process to review progress and goals on an annual basis. There's two points that I just want to highlight related to this goal. First, for those of you who remember the results of that greenhouse gas inventory, these goals are entirely focused on our fleet, the owned vehicles that we have under our control. And the second point is that under goal number one, the discussion of the ad hoc committee was specifically focused where it says short term 25 electric buses in 3 years. It was under the discussion at the ad hoc committee was focusing on those buses being under contract, not necessarily being on site and in operation within that amount of time. As some of you might know, it takes for any type of technology between 12 and 18 months for a bus to go from being under contract to arrival. And with newer technology, there can be delays along the way. So with that, I'd like to turn it over to the board for discussion, and I'd be happy to take any questions that you might have. Thank you.
Thank you, Kelly. So yes, with that, are there any questions or comments that people would like to make?
This is Emily, and I just wondered, does Kelly want to refer back to page 20 as part of the consent calendar, some of the upcoming fleet changes?
I guess, Kelly, or it could be any, it doesn't actually necessarily be you because I don't want to conflate, they are related issues, but did you have a comment about that particular recommendation for purchase of those smaller fleet vehicles on page 20? I don't want to mispronounce it, what was the company?
Well, actually,
Shetke.
This is Josh. This is Josh. Let me just say, and Kelly, feel free to jump in, but let me just say two quick things to maybe clarify this. The first is that the 11 electric buses that we ordered under the NOLO program that where we approved the contract a few months ago, and this other more recent all fossil fuel but smaller vehicles contract that we had pulled from the consent calendar 45 minutes ago, those both are taking place. I mean, one of them's awesome and the other one seems like a step in the wrong direction, but they're both outside of this longer term framework that Kelly is talking about bringing into existence. So I think we should just sort of have in mind that we're trying to do the right thing where we can, but we don't have a framework for all of it just yet.
Thank you, Josh. That's what I was trying to say, but I was trying to avoid conflating the two issues. So,
I can take this.
Yeah, go ahead. That'd be great.
Yeah, so I think there's two things. One is the 11 electric buses is exactly consistent with what we've been talking about for getting our fleet up to 25 buses, electric buses in 3 years. So that's very consistent with this discussion. So moving on to the cutaways, as we talked at the contract meeting, we're hesitant to jump into the electric technology on those type of vehicles at this point because we aren't confident that there's a product out there that'll serve us well. And so, we made the best decision we can based on our needs to make sure we can provide the service that we need to provide for the public in a reliable manner. Now we can put it off and not buy these vehicles and have vehicles break down and whatever, or and not be able to provide the service that we need to provide. So, we're kind of caught in a difficult spot right now with regard to climate action and available vehicles. So, that's kind of where we ended up with these. There are seven or eight year vehicles. And so, and we'll be buying them probably yearly. And so, again, it's consistent with our effort to try to get to non-fossil fuels by, as soon as possible and, by 2035. So.
I think it might be useful for me to mention to the board is that when the contract committee reviewed this, that we did ask a lot of questions and we did try to kind of work this into what we foresaw our LDD's climate action and planning would be. And I think we did a pretty good job of doing that. But Mark, I wonder if it would be helpful, could you also kind of give us a little bit more context, like what these vehicles are used for, so everyone who wasn't part of the contract committee can kind of better understand how this all fits in the puzzle?
So these are for our paratransit and RideSource fleet. And so, we use them for, our ADA paratransit, any MT trips. And so that's the purpose of these vehicles. They're not part of our fixed route system.
And how are our existing vehicles faring right now?
How are the ones that we're using?
Yes.
Yeah, they're beyond their useful life. And as these vehicles get old, they get very expensive. Transmissions go out and, different things that are very expensive to fix. And so at some point, for reliability, you just have to replace them.
Yeah, thanks. I hope that helped kind of bring it into context. They are related, but they're not about the same thing. Exactly. So, Kelly, just want to make sure. Go ahead.
I would just add one thing, that the fleet procurement plan that staff is beginning will have two phases. The first is for our 40 and 60 foot bus fleet. And the second phase will address our paratransit vehicles. And we will be developing the fleet procurement plan for those vehicles as well, looking at all of the available technologies and biofuels, as some of you were inquiring about at the beginning of the meeting.
That's excellent. Thank you, Kelly. Any other questions about either? Yes, go ahead, Josh.
Well, I have some comments from the committee work, but I want to make sure people who are not on the committee have enough opportunity to ask questions. So before I go, anybody else?
Thank you for clearing that up, Carl, about that.
You're welcome. Did you have any questions or comments though, Caitlin?
No, I'm just happy to hear from Josh, since he was on the committee, what he has to say.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Thanks. Don, I couldn't tell them. Were you raising your hand?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm just referring back to our public comment earlier in the meeting and the work we've done in the committee about the renewable natural gas. And a question about whether there's anything proceeding with that discussion that we had earlier about acquiring gas from Short Mountain or any other source like that.
Carl, would you like me to answer that?
Oh, yes, please. Go ahead.
I would just say that as we begin the fleet procurement plan process, we will be looking at all fuels and technologies that are available on the market today. So renewable natural gas will be included in the list of fuels and technologies that we are reviewing for our 40 and 60 foot bus fleet as part of that project.
And I would just add on top of that for what Don, you're specifically referencing, that ability and that project is based on Lane County doing some work first and first getting funding to be able to do that work. So building a fleet procurement plan around that specific source of renewable natural gas might not be the best thing to do. But if the opportunity arises, I know that Kelly and her colleagues are looking very closely at it to see if it's an opportunity for us.
At the same time, we're exploring these cutaway buses, an opportunity to run those on CNG as well. I mean, they're all, I think, gasoline buses right now, I think.
Yeah, that's correct, Don.
Great. Were there other, I have a comment and question I wanted to ask, but I want to make sure, is there any other board member who wanted to ask a question or make a comment? So really quickly, Alice, before then I'll go next to you, Josh, which is I wanted to thank the ad hoc committee's work on this, and I really appreciate the terminology and reducing greenhouse gas emissions. And while I, as you know, I'm a very big believer in battery electric vehicles, and I think that is currently the way to go. And I feel like you, and this is actually part of the question, which was, it sounds like that you are still making the policy nimble enough so that if there are changes in the next few years that we could take advantage of those, because I think you're making the best plan based on the technology and the information we have now. See head nods.
Yeah. Go ahead, Kate. And part of our thought process, we talked about language a lot in these meetings, and part of our thought process around what you see before you today is that if we have opportunities to lower our GHG sooner than we could procure on 100% electric fleet, then we would want to do as much as we can while keeping our eyes set on electric vehicles or any other emerging technology that proves to be a reduction in our GHGs.
Oh, Carl, you're muted.
Thank you. Sorry about that. I just want to say thank you. Thanks, Becky. And I want to say that I think this is a sufficiently ambitious plan, and I would definitely be in support of it. And thanks again for the work. Josh, go ahead. Oh, I'm sorry. Was there someone else?
Yeah, just one more thing just related to this for Josh.
Go ahead, Mark.
About the challenges of, accomplishing even what we're trying to accomplish by 2035. For instance, we applied for a NOLA grant this year, didn't get it. So that was for, five additional buses. So, that's where the funding piece becomes a little dicey. We've got to depend on some discretionary funds that we may or may not get to be able to, buy electric buses in the volume that we're really trying to buy them in. So I just wanted to throw that in as a piece of information for you.
Thank you very much, Mark. Josh, go ahead, please.
Thank you. And may have a little bit of ambient noise here. Sorry, poorly timed.
You're muted. We lost you. Still muted. Oh, it's connecting. It's working on it. Did you switch from cell to internet audio? Still can't hear. Nope.
Can you guys hear me now?
Oh, yeah. Now we can.
Okay. My apologies. Crazy tech night tonight, apparently. All right. Just a few quick comments. And first of all, I really want to thank Kelly and AJ and Mark for helping us get to where we got to with the goal. There was a lot of work there. You guys heard 6 meetings. You might be looking at this page and a half and thinking, what did they do for 6 meetings? But as Kate said, we talked through a lot of different pieces of this. I want to, just because we had some public comment about RNG, renewable natural gas, and some other stuff, I want to just make sure people hear a couple of things about this. As Carl hinted at, this is technology agnostic beyond those first few electric buses, right? We're talking about greenhouse gas emissions reduction. We could do it with electric. We could do it with some form of renewable diesel. We could do it, you know, with some form of renewable natural gas. I just want people to know we are flexible and have built that flexibility in there. I like Carl, am optimistic about electric propulsion systems, and that's what we have coming online now, and that's what we've already ordered. But you know, things could change. So I think that the goal is flexible in that way. I also want to point out a couple things that are just in the nature of this sort of goal setting. We don't have a map for achieving all of what we've laid out here. And that is uncomfortable, but it is necessary. So if you look at the climate science, if you look at what we are supposed to be doing as a society and various sectors in the economy, we need this level of ambitious greenhouse gas emissions reduction. There's just no way around it. It does seem as if the technology is rising to meet us and that we have the chance to achieve these things. But I think it's important for us to just hold on to and live with that discomfort. And I know that's maybe especially uncomfortable for the people who have to execute, you know, Mark and Kelly and Matt and others, but that is sort of our role, is to set the right policy direction here. I also want to point out that only doing 75% emissions reductions by 2030 and getting to 100% only by 2035 actually is not as ambitious as some parts of the economy are being told they need to achieve. And so this looks like a big deal, but I just want us to know that we could try to move faster, but the trade-off that emerged really clearly, and Kelly and Mark and Matt did a good job, and AJ did a good job explaining this to us, is that if we tried to achieve this faster, the most likely outcome, as we understand things now, is that we might have to cut back transit service. And to circle back to Kelly's most important point, is that transit, you know, well-used transit, and you know, regardless of the propulsion system, is low-carbon transportation. And so we really don't want to do this in a way that, you know, that chokes back our ability to supply transit. I mean, sort of weirdness in the short term notwithstanding, we know that this is the direction we need to go. So I feel like we have struck that that right balance there. But I just want to make sure people heard those contextual points. And otherwise, I'm excited that we get to vote on this.
Thanks, Josh. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to point out a couple other things that came up in our conversations. What we know, or what we knew in March, at least, so much changes so quickly in this field, is that 60-foot buses, so our MX buses, were not at a place of being able to be electrified in the way that we could rely upon. And so we are really looking at 40-foot in the at the beginning right now, just as in the same way that we've ordered our 11 buses. And then the other thing, and I don't say this to embarrass Kelly, but I say this because we are so incredibly fortunate to have Kelly on our team and on our staff, to be able to have somebody from the climate world in transit and working with us from the lens that is not just transit is pretty incredible. And so this process, working with her and working with the staff, has been very interesting to me, at least. I hope it is to other people, but it also gives me a lot of faith that we are moving in the right direction with the science, the knowledge, and the technology to back us. And I think that we are, although we aren't maybe as aggressive as some other transit districts are, we are in a position to be very smart about our climate goals. And that's pretty exciting for us, I think.
Thanks, Kate. Anyone else like to speak? If not, I want to add really quickly, I forgot to add a little comment, which is like, well, I think I used the phrase sufficiently ambitious. This is not to say that this isn't ambitious. It's just that it has to be balanced with reality, and I do find it to be realistic. And I do have problems with other organizations making very lofty, high-minded goals, but they're not realistic or have any chance of succeeding. I think we do have a chance of doing that. And I do think this is something that we will remember as being a quote unquote big deal and a very forward thinking proposal. Yes, Kate.
Sorry, I just had one more thing to add. One of the most important pieces for me, and I believe other members of the ad hoc, was that we are not making goals that we can't put our money behind. And so while we were putting these three goals out after we're proposing a policy for the district as a whole, what we wanted to make sure was that we weren't saying we're going to go 100% electric by 2025 and not have a financial plan to back that. And that was something that AJ guided us on very closely to make sure that we knew what we could do, so we weren't putting ourselves in a position to not be able to perform and meet our community with the standard that we're setting.
Very nice, and well said. And thank you very much again to all those involved, Kelly, AJ, Mark, and the committee. Joshin, and I want to make sure that we really figured out the Shetki contract and how it kind of relates to all of this, and to close that one out. And we'll do the climate action first, and then we'll make sure to get that contract addressed. And Josh, yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, sure. And this is just short, just under I just want to, we didn't really talk about the three bullet points under goal three, and Kelly mentioned those briefly, but you see them there in the AIS. The idea that, you know, we're setting the most concrete goals here around the stuff that we have the most control over. But of course, the area where we can make the biggest difference is by luring more people onto transit. And that is something that necessarily involves other jurisdictions. So I just want to point out to people that is called out in here. It's vaguer because it's necessarily so. It's hard to set joint goals with other jurisdictions by yourself. It's impossible to do so. So that's something that will come later. But I just wanted to make sure we said that out loud to everybody, that that's, you know, part of the work to be done. And then, Carl, are you waiting for a motion?
Yeah, you know, I changed my mind. Let's do this motion here. I think I don't feel like there's any more questions, and I think we clarified there was a relationship between the two things, but they need to be reviewed separately. So let's split it apart now. So let's go ahead, and I'll entertain a motion for the climate action policy statement and goals.
I move adoption of LTD resolution number 2020-06-17-038. Hereby resolved that the LTD Board of Directors adopts the Climate Action Policy Statement and Fleet Procurement Goals as presented.
I'll second.
Again. Oh!
Maybe you. So it's been moved by Josh, seconded by Don. I should mention, Emily said she did have to leave, but she texted me that she was in support of this. So let's do a roll call vote. We'll start with Kate Reed.
Yay!
Joshua Scove.
Aye.
Don Norden.
Aye.
Caitlin Vargas.
Aye.
Stephen Yet.
Aye.
And Emily Secor is not present. And Carl Ye, I vote aye. So motion passes 6 and with an absent no vote from Emily and none against. So motion passes. Thank you very much, Kelly, and everyone else. I really appreciate, and I really do think this is something we will remember for a long time to come. Let's go back to Shetki. So that contract, so now we have, if on your packet, it is page 20, and we might have talked it to death. So I don't know if there's are there any other questions, or is there a better understanding of why we're ordering, or why there was a recommendation to order these vehicles. So if there are none, I will entertain a motion. Oh yes, Don, go ahead. And then Josh.
I'm just wondering, these Shetki vehicles, are they the Eldorados that were familiar with the same vehicle we've been using all along.
Mark, do you want to hit that one? Because I don't know that one for sure.
Yeah, they're similar vehicles. I don't know that they're Eldorados, but they're, yeah, similar cutaways to what we've been buying.
Yeah, I know that Gary and I saw that one down in Atlanta that we were impressed with. That thought it would be a different, another opportunity to try something. But, you know, maybe they'll have a better fuel system next year.
Yeah.
And I agree with you, Don. I think as the technology matures, it will start to spread out, and vehicles like these lighter, medium-sized vehicles will probably incorporate some greener technologies. Josh, go ahead.
Yeah, well, and I feel a little bit responsible because I stirred the pot here on this one to start with. Listen, I think staff have brought us something that we have to take action on. We have a bunch of services to people who really need them that we use certain kinds of vehicles for, and those vehicles are just not in the place we wish they were in the market in terms of being available in alternative fuels or, you know, as electric vehicles. So I'm fine with moving ahead with this only because I see so few other options, but I mean, sort of grudgingly, I just think we have to do this. It's just unfortunate.
Great, thank you. Are there any other questions or comments? If not, I will entertain a motion. Page 21. Kate, I sense you really want to make a motion.
I'm trying to find it. I move adoption of LTD resolution number 2020-06-17-032. It is hereby resolved that the LTD Board of Directors, acting as the LTD Contract Review Board, approves contract number 2020-119 as presented. Yeah?
Second.
Okay.
So it's great. So moved by Kate to approve that contract. That was pulled from the consent calendar, seconded by Caitlin. We'll do a roll call vote. So we'll start with Caitlin. How do you vote?
Aye.
And Kate Reed?
Aye.
Joshua Scove?
I'm going to abstain.
Okay. Don Norden?
Aye.
Stephen Yet?
Aye.
Emily Secord is not present, and I, Carl Ye, vote aye. So we have 5 in favor, 1 abstention, and 1 not present. So thank you very much, everyone. So we got that one taken care of. Let's move on to the public meeting schedule. AJ, would you like to kick us off with that topic? I wonder if AJ's having phone problems. If not, I could take over for that one.
Oh, there, can you hear me?
Oh, good, good. Yeah, we can hear you now. Go ahead.
Sorry, I didn't unmute, and I said Camille hopefully can move to that item. So I just wanted to bring this item before the board because there's been a lot of discussion at multiple meetings and about bringing back some items or that were pre-COVID-19. So what I wanted to do is remind the board that at the end of March, we began meeting weekly. The board has met weekly, and we've maintained our monthly meetings for the regular business. But we are at our June meeting now, and I know we had preliminary talked about is that in June we would revisit kind of how we move forward through the summer. Lane County is in phase 2 right now of reopening, which is not much different than phase 1, unfortunately. And definitely there are new cases increasing. But regardless, I thought it's important, especially we have audience members who prior to COVID had been engaging with us on different topics. So I thought it would be timely to bring this topic for the board to indicate would it like to continue its weekly meetings And I actually gave some questions there that the board can consider, but just, I would like to get just clarity, make sure the board still has an interest in continuing its weekly meetings, still has an interest, which I would presume, but it'd be good to assert, continuing virtual meetings, and then continue, you know, maybe saying for a few months, and kind of what it's, what the board's thought is about in-person meetings. You know, I mean, I do think it's probably premature to do it in the next month or so, but I do think that the board wants to have these conversations amongst itself to make sure that community members who are planning have a level of expectation about how we're reacting to the different phases of reopening. And I'm not saying that if some big surge of COVID-19, we wouldn't backtrack, but it's good to be planning ahead and just communicating so that the board, the community knows how to engage us in the month of July, August, and maybe even September. So I don't think we should be looking way long-term, but I do think we probably should be looking at the next few weeks if the board has a desire to keep the weekly meetings and how it would like to meet for the months of July, August, and September. So it's just an opportunity, and Carl, you can also speak to this, and a few other board members have expressed interest in this as well.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Carl, it's Kristen. Yes. Can I just say one thing real quick?
Please do, Kristen.
For the board's discussion. The governor's somewhat recent executive order that outlines the phases. So in phase two, indoor gatherings are limited to 50 people, and you have to maintain social distancing. So I just wanted all board members to know that if you're considering in-person meetings.
Thank you.
I'll just put out there that the per person is 35 square feet for a room. So that's how many, based on the square footage of the room that we would hold our board meeting in, is how many people we could have attend it. Just to put that out there too.
Thanks for that visual, Kate. Stephen, I see you. I'm going to make a quick comment, and you'll be next. I want to say thank you, AJ, for getting this conversation started. I think we're at the right point for it, and I'll have some more comments later. But I think I know there is some interest in having expanding perhaps some of our meetings and what kind of business we're doing while still being safe, of course. Stephen, go ahead, please.
Thanks, Carl. Following up on Kate's point, I don't see it being a realistic option to have in-person meetings for the time being, and I would vote to go biweekly.
Oh, thank you for that comment. Let's keep the conversation going. So what are some other thoughts or comments about this? Yes, Kate.
I agree with Stephen.
Anybody else before I'll make a comment. I think if you had asked me last week, I would have said that I would have wanted to go to every other week in our meetings. But now that cases are starting to rise, I'm actually more concerned we need to be still more nimble. So I'm not dead set against twice a month, but I would say I actually would be interested in keeping the once a week, but we'd keep them brief, tight meetings, just to get updated and to make any kind of resolutions that as needed or to give direction to staff. That'd be about for that. Now for other committees, I actually feel comfortable that we could start slowly having certain committees do more work that isn't urgent, like that isn't absolutely necessary to the functioning of LTD, like the strategic planning and other kinds of that kind of work. And so I would, I agree with Stephen. I think it is still a good idea to keep everything virtual. And I think it is effective, and we've been making it work. And so that's what I would be a proponent of. So I'll stop making comments there and see if anyone else would like to make a comment. You know, Caitlin, I don't know if you wanted to say something.
Sure. I was gonna say that I agree with Kate and Stephen with the biweekly, just because I personally find this format a little more challenging, just trying to balance the kids and really get engaged with the meetings. And so going to biweekly would help a little bit. But I also feel very comfortable if we could do committee meetings, or if we are looking at the future at meeting in person, I would personally really encourage that when the time is right, of course. But after hearing what you just said about being nimble, I think it's in our best interest to probably either continue weekly or really just adhere to whatever AJ and Mark feel is appropriate, and we're being good stewards of our time. So I guess I'm agreeing with all of you on some level. I know that's not really helpful, but I'm really interested to hear from LTD staff if they feel like they have enough content for a weekly meeting and if it's helpful to them. So I'd love to hear from them if that's okay.
Absolutely, Caitlin. Thanks. You know what? We're talking it through right now. So we definitely all reserve the right to change our minds and kind of make an adaptation to be nimble, like you just said. So I've got Don, and then next after that will be Josh.
Yeah, I was just going to comment that I think we should stay on the weekly schedule. Otherwise, that's no further statement.
Thanks, Don. Go ahead, Josh.
Thanks. I would like to see if we could do weekly meetings, continue to do weekly meetings. If we have to skip one because we think we've gotten so much of the important stuff done, maybe we do that. But three or four meetings a month seems reasonable to me. I'm not going to express a strong preference either way, but I'd be open to meeting in person. If for no other reason than to kind of test the conditions to really understand what it would mean to have all the appropriate measures in place and to try to meet in person. I think, there are some things we just get done better in person. We obviously don't have certain tech glitches. But I'd also say that it's something that as a society and as a community, we need to get better at, like sort of figuring out how to do these things in a way that's safe. This is our reality for the foreseeable future. So I don't know. I mean, I will of course defer to you, Carl, and to AJ, but it'd be nice to experiment just a little bit in a way that is safe.
Thanks, Josh. I've got Don and then myself and then Kate. Sorry, Don, I think there will be a time when we will return to some kind of in-person meeting. I just feel like we're really early in the game. Depending on how you look at it or which scientists you listen to, I think most are seem to be in agreement. We're still in the first wave of infections. And I'd like there to be more time that as we get through that before we start considering in-person type meetings. Kate, you're next.
Yeah, so I guess that I wouldn't be so much opposed to the weekly meetings if it was, if they could be concise. And I think Carl's original idea was that we would do like half hour meetings, and we're scheduled for hour meetings. So it seems like there's a miscommunication there. And I don't have a problem meeting weekly. The thing that I have seen kind of happen, which has seemed a little weird for me, is that both times with the budget information, it's landed in a special meeting. And I feel like that is not super appropriate for our public engagement. And I know we're posting it and we're talking about it in the forums that we talk about posting public meeting information. But just as long as if we have board, very specific regular board meeting stuff, that it lands in the regular board meeting. And if we have, and that leaves our special meetings to be special meetings. And if they're not just COVID related, we're like prepared and we know that. And the community knows that. So that would be if we're going weekly, that would be my request, to make sure we're condensing all of our regular work into our regular meetings and leaving the special meetings to be just exactly that, and very clear on what the time frame is that we're looking at on it.
Thanks, Kate. I just want to make sure I mentioned at the beginning of the meeting, because of the time frame and timeline, that was a necessity to have a schedule that way. But I agree with you in principle. You know, the special meetings, the purpose of which was to be able to make quick decisions based on emerging information, And I think if people are ready, I'd like to make the beginnings of a motion, which is that we maintain the weekly meetings. We keep them to 30 minutes or less with a very as tight as possible with the fewest of exceptions, that there are updates. And then and if we need to make some kind of decision. And then there was a part two to this and I just lost it. Oh yes, the part two was then we do allow for committee meetings to conduct business other than urgent matters. I don't think we need to be specific on which committees need to do that. There, I think that interest will kind of fuel itself, but they should also be held video or by audio or video technology. That was just the beginning of a motion, but let's talk that out before I'm not formally making one. I'm just throwing it out there as a possible one. So thoughts?
That sounds
Don,
good.
Are you trying to talk? I saw your mouth moving. Your hand is still up on the list, just to make sure. Just so you know, Don, you're still on mute.
I'm sorry, okay. The screen keeps moving around whenever I do something and I can't see the hand is still sticking up. So let's see. Well, I guess there's some agreement with Kate wanting to make it precise or succinct and having a regular contact here. And I feel that having the weekly contact is good because things come up and it may be the only appropriate place where we have a chance to have this discussion. So I'm in favor of keeping that and, you know, making it succinct and quick. Let's see if I can turn.
Caitlin, I think you had your hand up. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, when we do discussions, can Camille switch off the screen share so we can all have a gallery view and like kind of see each other's faces? Are you okay with that?
I'm happy to do whatever you guys prefer. I just thought it might be helpful to move along with the agenda in the shared screen. Either way, I'm good either way.
Totally Carl's call. Yeah. I just wanted to throw it out there.
I think we've just been doing that so that people, when they're following along, like when we're, how about this? I think that's a great, great feedback. And I think part of the value of being able to see each other's faces is that we kind of have a better, it kind of simulates a meeting room situation better. And we kind of understand where we might be, what we're communicating better. And it will throw things up on the screen only when, like when we did that diagram of Elementary Road or the, then I think that's that time we do that. Okay, thanks for that. Other comments? Hey, Stephen, I want to catch you in case you had something you wanted to say.
Oh, I'm good.
Great. I think we need another motion to undo because we're actually would be undoing something we had passed earlier. So I think this is one I'm happy to make the motion. People are okay with that.
I don't think you're actually changing anything.
Oh, I think the one thing we are changing though is that we are saying that committees now can meet for non-urgent.
Yeah. That's correct. But other than that, you still agree weekly meetings. The only difference, which the budget doesn't specify, but we'll know staff that it's only 30-minute meetings, maintain them virtual as the resolution, but the committee meetings are the exception.
Correct. Yeah. Is everyone okay with that? Is that something
talk about the time? Is the time still acceptable?
Oh, the Wednesdays as opposed to another different day, Mark?
Well, or the time of day.
Oh, right. Yeah. How do people feel about the time of day?
If we have the option of going earlier, I like the idea that since LTD staff is required to be here, that it's part of their work day and not requiring them to extend their work day until later hours into the evening. So I guess on behalf of the staff, you know, I think it'd be great to have it earlier. And then I'd say it's hard to have it around dinner time when you're at home. And so I know personally, I think earlier would be great.
Any other comments about the time of day?
How about from 4:30 to 5?
4:30 to 5. I would be inclined to agree with that. My only comment would be so I think for the special meetings, I think it's a little bit less important, but I think it's important that we try to schedule it so that there is the possibility that more people from the public could be with us. But you know, given that it's virtual, you know, some people still could get time off potentially to do that. And perhaps it would make it easier for others. Just to be clear, are we saying that we would like those just the special meetings to move from 4:30 to 5, or are we proposing that we do all of our, including the next board meeting from 4:30 to say 6:30?
I thought it was just special meetings.
Oh, I think I'm sorry, it must have been on my, you froze for a little bit. Can you say that again?
Who, me? Am I frozen?
Yeah, you were frozen for me. It might not be for everyone else. Yeah.
Okay. I thought we were talking about special meetings, and we don't actually allow for public testimony in those meetings, correct?
We don't, but we do allow public viewing of those.
Of course, of course.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure that you weren't.
Yeah.
I just was confused.
Confusing too. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, I wanted to make sure that we were just adjusting just the special meeting time. So
yeah,
so
I don't think we should move our board meeting, our regular scheduled board meeting.
Okay. I'm not fine with that. Let's do that. And I think that I think will serve enough purposes. So I like to move that we continue to have a weekly special meetings on Wednesdays at 4:30 to 5 p.m. With to be concise, meetings regarding COVID-19 related issues, unless there's an emergency, then that there's an exception. Number two, committee meetings can now be held to discuss other regular matters, no longer constrained to urgent ones, and then we continue to have all LTD public meetings be held via audio or video technology. So, anyone
second?
Hey, thank you. So, it's been moved by myself, seconded by Kate. Just making sure. Any quick discussions before we vote on it? Great. We'll do a roll call vote. So I'll start with Kate.
Aye.
Joshua Scove.
Aye.
Don Norden.
Aye.
Caitlin Vargas.
Aye.
Stephen Yet.
Oui.
Excellent. And then Emily Secord is not present, and I, Carl Ye, also vote aye. So motion passes. Let's see. I think that's that. Thank you very much for that discussion. And you know what? I think you probably remember we all talked about this early on, when COVID first, we were reacting to it. We can still change. So maybe even as early as next week, we might decide, hey, this is better to do something else. So let's keep that in mind too. And AJ, thanks again for bringing that discussion to our and getting us started with that. So let's go back. So the other thing, so we pulled from our consent calendar, because I think we still have time, some of the other policies, and were there specific questions, or maybe I don't know what the best way to actually get started on this would be. Or would people rather we push this? Yeah, go ahead, Josh.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're talking about items 7, 8, 9 from the consent calendar on the, I feel like, I mean, I looked through some of the materials. I didn't get through all of it. It was pretty substantial in the board packet. I feel like this, either this is a board work session level topic, or it is a, or even an executive session topic. I'm not really sure, but it just felt like a fairly substantial change that we didn't have a lot of prep for offline. But I don't know if there are other meetings that happened with committees that I didn't know about.
Well, I can give you a summary of what those things are, those three policies that you're asking about. And then maybe you can decide. Would that help?
Sure. I mean, Christina, I appreciate that. I don't mean to put you on the spot to do that. I guess it's really, the question is really whether they are sufficiently substantive that we should have a separate
like meeting agenda item. I mean, they seem like a big deal with some big dollar values.
Yeah, so they are actually all included in the budget already. So I'm gonna just give you a quick summary and maybe that will help, is that we have, LTD has two pension plans. One's a salaried pension plan and it's a closed plan for employees that were hired before 2012. And then we have the ATU plan, which is an active plan. And every 2 years, we do an actuarial evaluation. So Milliman is our actuary and they do evaluation. And then they bring that, the actuary brings those results of the valuation and they make a contribution recommendation to keep the pension plans healthy. So we have a pension committee for both the salary plan and for the ATU pension plan. And the pension trustees, which are AJ, Stephen Yett, actually Bill Bradley, John Hampton, and John Hunt, they review the information from the actuaries and then they approve the investment return and the contribution rate. And then, and once they approve it, it's just like, you know, with the budget committee, it then this committee then approves it and then sends it to the board for adoption. And so these policies are really, what's there is just once the board adopts and says that they approve the contribution and investment return changes to keep the plans healthy, then what happens is the policy is just updating those return rates and contribution rates. That's kind of what it does. And so the two different changes that we have for the salaried employee retirement plan, investment return rate is 5.5% and is what they adopted back, approved by the pension committee back in November. And then the impact of that would be additional $125,000 to LTD's budget in fiscal year 21. And so the goal with this plan, because it's a closed plan, is it has to have all of the funding so that when the pensionees retire within by 2032, that we would have, that it would be a fully funded plan. So what this one is recommending is just what the contribution rate is and the investment rate, return rate. And then on the ATU side, what the trustees did is they looked at what the investment return ratio would be. It used to be 6.5, but and it's over a 20-year period. And they said we need to reduce that investment return rate. And they're approving investment return rate to be reduced to 5.75%. And so, what that translates into is, since it's done every 2 years, what you're approving is the 2 years of contribution rate. So the one for fiscal year 21 is $3.16 per hour plus an annual payment, a flat payment of $1,927,006. And then for 2021, it's $3.25 plus an annual payment of $1,984,816. So that's for fiscal year 22. So then on both of those, the pension trustees actually approved that was a good choice to keep the pension plans healthy. So the ATU plan, the goal is to have it funded by 2040. And then there's one small administrative change in that policy, which is just changing the role of the chief financial officer to be the executive officer of the pension trustee committee. So it's just an administrative change of who would be owning that particular piece of the policy adoption or policy items. So that's kind of what the pension one is. And then the other one that's on there has to do with the fund balance and reserve policy. And that's what, you know, we look at that every year. That's an annual review that we do. And it's really, you know, that's, remember how we talk about it's a 2-month, we've historically said 2 months reserve. And so we said, well, you know, we look at this every year. Usually we're looking at it to see, are there any important things that we need to change? And so in this policy, the only changes that we made are we added in the statewide transportation improvement fund cash reserve. We added that in there as a comment to say that it's actually not, it's not part of the 2 month reserve for all of LTD because it's a separate stiff funded. We changed it currently says routine review. So we changed it to annual review because that's what we really do is we review it annually. And then we changed the reserve where it says between 2 and 6 months. We just changed it to say no less than 2 months because we didn't want to put a cap. There's no need to put a cap on the how many months on the more than 2 months. So we just left it no less than 2 months reserve, which then meant that we no longer had to have a surplus unrestricted fund balance because you're not going to have something that's surplus over 6 months because you're just saying it's no less than 2 months reserve. And so that's what those three, that's just a high level summary of what those three policies that are in there is intended to do and will come before you in the next board meeting.
Thank you so much, Christine. You did exactly what I wanted you to do, which is to give us that kind of high level explanation. Kate, I see your hand is up. Would you like to go ahead next?
Yeah, so I just, there's a couple of pages that I was confused on. I bookmarked them. Hold on. I think it's like 27. Page 27, in one purpose of the document, the last thing that it says is at July 1st, 2019, the plan had a funded ratio of 674%. So I was confused about that. And then the same thing on page 74, I believe, of the packet, it says, the plan had a funded ratio of 666%.
Yeah, so just to be clear, the funded ratio on the salaried employees plan was 70.64%, and the funded ratio on the ATU one was 67.7%. So the documents that we have for you for when it goes to you for approval will have all of those all fixed. So yes, okay. I see what you're saying.
I was like, are we funding them at 600%?
No, they're currently.
That is amazing.
Yeah, so the goal is to get to 100% funded.
Right.
But they're currently not 100% funded. Neither of the plans are 100% funded.
Okay, great. Thank you.
I think that brings us to the next question. So now that we've gotten this explanation, I think we have a couple choices. We can ask a few more questions and maybe discuss some further and decide to vote to approve these tonight, or we may decide that we want to get more in-depth information or have more time to discuss this, which I would actually recommend that we don't do that tonight. We would do that at a future board meeting. What are some thoughts and how would people like to proceed? Go ahead, Kate.
I would also agree with that just because Emily seemed to have a number of questions about it as well, and she's not here to participate in that discussion. So I would want to make sure that she gets her questions answered.
Okay. And other points of view, go ahead, Don, and then Josh.
Well, just what Christina just finished saying, that we wanted to fund these at 100%. I thought we were trying to fund it about 80% or something.
So the goal is to fund a healthy plan. If you talk to the actuaries, is a fully funded plan so that when people retire, that we are able to make sure that there is no struggle. Because if there is, that what happens is the district is going to have to cover that, right? So either way, whether we do it now and we try to make sure that we're doing it a little bit over time so we get to the 100% funded, or whether we wait and then we find that we don't have enough to pay for people's retirement, the district will have to cover that.
Yeah, yes, that's true. I've just had an understanding from earlier discussions that it was more efficient use of the funds to only fund that 80% and not try to secure them all or have them all sequestered in the funds. That was just my understanding of earlier budget discussions.
You might, I guess I can just say that the best practice is 100%. What you might have heard was that there might have been some thought that maybe 80% was getting too healthy plan, and that we were below that level and that wasn't very healthy. I'm sorry, Dawn, I just really don't remember.
Okay. Let's go to Josh. Josh, go ahead.
Thank you, Carl. Christina, you said something about the proposed changes here being incorporated in the current budget. Say what you mean by that, and also tell us whether we are slowing down progress toward getting the budget finalized, if we need to discuss this again. And then also explain why then I never see, maybe I missed it, the year 2020 in there. It seems like everything is up through 2019, but maybe I've just misunderstood the tables that I'm reading.
So the budget, when you go to approve the budget on June 24th, you can approve it as presented or as amended. So you can choose to say, we don't want to fund the pension, or you want to fund it at a different level. And if you did that, then that would change what was in the budget with regards to, it could be higher or lower than what you already seen. And so if today you tell me, I think that we are going a certain direction and I want you to change that amount, then we would act accordingly and change, I would adjust the budget so that when you see it on the 24th of June, it will be higher or lower based on your thinking about how much you believe we should be funding the pension trust. But the pension trust right now is the dollars that were, it took a hit, right? If you think about it, the stock market took a hit. So, and this was done at before that by our actuaries, but it is a 20-year thing. So the thinking is that over 20 years, the stock market will go up and down. And so this is thinking that this is what it would be over the long haul in terms of return and what is needed. There's always assumptions as to how to get there. And because we look at it every 2 years, right, the actuary does evaluation every 2 years, I will be coming back to you in 2 years and asking you again. And if it's doing fine, we may say we reduce it, or we may say we have to increase it depending on where it is in 2 years from now. But you have a choice based on what you believe is the right funding model, and it does translate into what goes into the budget.
Thank you.
Thank you. Stephen, I was hoping you'd chime in. Go ahead, Stephen.
Hey Josh, you're basically looking at a Fram filter commercial. You can pay a little now or a lot more later. And as Christine pointed out, if we don't fully fund this or fund this to the best of our ability now, it will most likely come back to haunt those who are sitting in our chairs 15, 20 years from now. And so these general ideas, both for the union side and for the non-union side, is basically to be more prudent and assume a lower return over time and to put in a few more bucks along the way versus hoping that the stock market returns more than it likely will. And the last one is an editorial comment by me.
Thank you, Stephen. I'm kind of sensing, well, let me see if I really am feeling this, that we would like this to become an agenda item for a future board meeting. And that way Emily can be included. Okay, go ahead, Kate.
I don't know if you heard that. Okay. I don't know if I heard Josh's question get answered about delaying the budgetary process, the budget process.
No, I think Christina answered it. I mean, essentially, okay. these proposals are already woven into the existing budget. If we wanted to change these proposals, then we'd be approving the budget. But you know, as amended somehow, you know, by the whatever the implications are, how we'd want to change this. But I wasn't proposing any specific changes to this. I was just trying to understand how they were connected.
Okay. Cool.
And I'm not saying this because I'm trying to push us to doing that. I mean, if there is interest in approving these as presented, we can also do that this evening as well. So just checking in. So I'll entertain a motion or just thoughts.
I'll just sit here.
Go ahead, Don.
Did I move? I don't know how the wording in the motion is, but I'll move that.
Well, actually, Carl, I'm wondering if it's possible to include these items in the consent agenda for next time, but just make sure that, I don't know, ask Christina to follow up with Emily. I mean, I take seriously what Kate said before about how Emily had expressed the same concern about pulling these.
I mean, that's certainly a possibility. I think Don was in the middle of making a motion, though, so I wasn't clear on what were you so moving what I had just said that we to approve the ones that we had today, or would you like to do what Josh just proposed? I think you have that option.
I don't have a sense of the right thing to do here. So okay. If Josh has a better proposal there, then so be it.
Okay. Josh, would you like to make a motion?
Is it a motion? I think we're just asking Christina and AJ to follow up with Emily, and then we're suggesting that these end up on the consent calendar for our next meeting when we approve the budget.
I guess you're right. If we're doing anything short of voting to approve for today, then we can certainly just instruct staff to bring it back to us. And it sounds like you specifically wanted them to just go ahead and bring it back to us as part of the consent calendar, or did you want them to bring it as something else?
I would say that having heard the discussion, the consent calendar would be fine.
Okay.
Unless Emily, you know, unless something new surfaces there, but you know, the conversation with Emily, but otherwise I think consent calendar is fine.
Okay, great. I think not seeing any other disagreement, AJ, would you as the general manager make that so and bring it back to us as part of the consent calendar? Okay, thank you.
And follow up with Emily. I just want to make that because she was talking, I feel like, a lot about this.
Sure.
And I don't want to have her be like, why is it on the consent calendar again?
Right. Okay. Okay. How about this? I will go ahead and follow up with Emily and then. Okay. Very good. All right. If I am not mistaken, I believe that brings us to the end of this meeting. I'm sorry. Are there any questions about the written reports? Scanning the room. Doesn't look like there are any, but Josh, you want to say something?
Well, not about the written reports, but, I thought we were going to,
Yes. Going down to the number, letter F. And so, just end of the meeting. What items did you want to bring to the board's attention for possible future agenda items?
Sure. And, you know, feel free to chime in, people, but I guess when I think about, I tried to go back and look at things that we were supposed to be doing before, before a pandemic struck, and a few things came to mind, but then also some new things have come to mind, and I haven't quite seen them turn into agenda items. So stick with me for this list. So the first is the review of the general manager. I feel like we should have been already maybe deep into that by now. I think to be fair to AJ, we should try not to let that sort of, you know, slip in the calendar too much. But also to be fair to AJ, we should be like thinking about whether there are new criteria on which it is reasonable to judge her for the coming year. given that things are different. So AHA's review is number one. Second, I really do think we need to have a much more serious service model discussion. I have said service model multiple times, usually in the context of micromobility, but I mean just we're rolling out different schedules, right? And so we're doing things differently. You know, we were in the midst of making a big policy decision related to transit tomorrow. You know, the way we deliver service is, you know, a policy decision. And so I think instead of just sort of waiting for staff to, you know, develop new proposals, I think we should have a little bit of a conversation, because given how significantly we're talking about changing service hours, that is a policy decision. It's not just operations. So that was the second one. The third thing I want to put on people's radar is that we're in the midst of this transition of ownership and operational authority for the bike share system. I think we talked about this before. Uber has walked away from it, breached the contract, fired people, but basically the city of Eugene has agreed to sort of take it over and keep it going until some sort of entity can gel. At this particular moment, we're thinking about how to help people do first last mile, and we're also thinking about strategies that achieve distancing. And so actually, I feel like we should be engaged in a more serious discussion with the bike share system. I'll put that out there as a possible agenda topic. The fourth one, and there are only five, just so you know, the fourth one is, and this actually goes back to Bill Bradley's comments. I actually think the evidence is that transit may be safer than people have originally realized if you take certain measures, like the cleaning of the buses, which we're doing, the plexiglass to protect the drivers, which we have on order, people wearing masks. So I'm wondering if we can do some additional, maybe surface testing of buses or some other measure, and really talk about quantifying and then communicating the safety of transit, if we can establish that, just so we don't scare people away unnecessarily. That would be maybe something to talk about. And the very last thing, I have been racking my brain over the last couple weeks to figure out what is an appropriate response by us as an agency to this moment, national and even global moment of awareness on racial justice issues. And I don't know exactly what the best things are, but I'm hoping we can sort of figure out two, and maybe these are combined as an agenda topic that was in my head, but just decide. The first is, whatever we're doing internally, I feel like we need to ask for some sort of report back on what processes or policies are in place at the agency to ensure that those kinds of equity concerns are being addressed. And externally, I think this is maybe the moment for us really to be to up our game and be more deliberate about listening to the community and hearing back about what riders' experiences are. I have heard from people during my time as a board member, and I certainly have experienced this. It's actually really difficult as an average person to weigh in to LTD. The website doesn't sort of curate that experience. There's a number to call, there's an email, but it's not like we're really inviting feedback. And this feels like a moment when we should be doing extra listening to the community. So those are the final things kind of bundled in that last one. That's all for now.
Thanks, Josh. I have some answers, and I kind of wonder if, given there's about 7 minutes left in our time this is not to try to make us have a larger discussion. You bring up a good point about AJ's evaluation. I just want you to know I have been, that's been on my mind, and we are working on that to incorporate that into our meetings in the future. So general manager evaluation is definitely on the plan. It's been pushed back, and I think we talked about that a couple months ago because, well, we're in the middle of a pandemic, or beginning one, depending on who you talk to. And so were the other things that you've mentioned, my general concern is I don't want to overburden staff with stuff, but I also don't want to, my goal is not to be an obstructionist and just kind of keep us at a standstill. That's not the point. I really just want us to make sure we're focused on keeping people safe, keeping our staff safe, and doing our part as part of the greater whole of the community. But I think we can carefully integrate some of these things. How about this, that I take some of your stuff and I see what I can mold that into a reasonable thing to take a bite out of. And I kind of, we take bites out of it in the next few meetings. Kate.
I'm wondering, obviously some of that is more urgent. That's a lot of information to not have any written things about. And at this point in the board meeting, I could only maybe tell you about two of the five concepts that you offered up, if I was to reiterate those back. So what would be helpful for me as a board member who also wants to foster a productive work environment for our board and our staff and for the community to engage in is to be able to have information laid out with like what our work plan already is for our board meetings and then what these additional pieces are and if anyone has other additions that they would like to add to be able to kind of craft where we are because we are in such a fluid time where, you know, the world's on fire and it would be good to have a response and a little more direction. So I agree that a lot of these things are really important to work on. I would love to have more opportunity to read and digest and kind of figure out how to fit them into where we're at and what we're planning on doing right now. So I don't know if that's like a next, like in one of our special meetings, we say we're allotting X amount of time to do this as part of our COVID response is like, we need to also figure out what our future board meetings are. I don't know. Oh, hey, Camille, thanks.
And Kate, I think you and I aren't too far off in trying to figure out how to push this forward. Josh, I'm gonna let Dawn, I was waving in front of the screen. I wasn't sure where you're trying to, okay. Back to you, Josh.
Sure, well, so Kate, I apologize for sort of just dumping all this here. I mean, just want to acknowledge your point about that, but we don't really have any other process by which to bring these up in a way that sort of everyone can see. So I'm just trying to, I'm just following process there to the extent we have it. I didn't draw clear connections to the board annual working agenda out loud, but I think it's pretty obvious that some of these things fit in. That maybe I should have said that, but I think maybe that's the big story here is that we should be having a more deliberate conversation about our working agenda. I mean, I think that's the place to have the broader discussion.
Well, and
so
part
if I
of that,
wrap it up into one,
Yeah, and part of that, I think, is having it be an equitable conversation where, like, one board member doesn't bring five things that they feel like is a good thing to work on, even if it is a really good thing to work on, that the whole board gets to agree that that's the direction they would like the board to be working. And so I think that that's part of, and I'm not saying anyone would have anything against what you're talking about, but, like, to mold a way to like bring things towards the work plan and the agenda setting. I'm just wondering if this isn't maybe a part of that larger conversation too, is like, how do we then bring things to the board in this meeting format? And if one board member has five things, that's a lot to digest. Nothing wrong with it. Well, it's just a lot to digest.
Exactly. But I guess this is our process right now. That's my point. We don't have another process.
Well, there are many ways
There
are many ways to do it. One of them is that you can bring them to me and I will work it in. And that's why I think I'd like to do with this and I will figure out some way. And so given the time we have left, just want to make sure, hey, Caitlin and Steven on the phone, any quick comments that you want to make?
Well, I made a comment earlier about this format being challenging for me, and this is kind of one of those reasons. It's very easy for one person to dominate the conversation, and I feel like that's what's been happening. And we have to be cognizant of, like, there's lots of voices to be heard. And Carl, I know you're trying really hard to encourage that, but I have found this challenging. Josh, I feel like you can just sometimes dominate the conversation a little bit, and five items was a lot. And so I do want to move forward and, using Kate's word of equitable, figure out how we can all be bringing ideas. And maybe that's going to Carl, who as the board president has that authority to then figure out how those filter out, because it's been hard. And this is a good example of that. And I think we need to get to a better place where we're all having an equal voice and really focusing on what we need to at the moment, and that's making those meetings concise. And so it's hard. I don't know how Stephen feels. I'm sure he's got something to say.
Put me on the spot, will you?
Thanks, Kaylin. Go ahead, Stephen.
I think my fellow board members are hashing this out beautifully and don't need my addition.
Cool. Well, we are now at the end of our time. So give me some time and we will definitely figure out how to make this work. And thank you very much for your comments. I really felt people felt it was good to hear people talk about this. And so we will work on it. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and close out the meeting. So thank you very much, everyone. Really appreciate your presence here today, as well as the public's. And I hope everyone stays safe and healthy, and we will see each other next.
Your video is cutting in and out, Carl.
Yeah, you're not doing a great job ending the meeting.